This podcast is brought to you by Day Soul Coffee Lab out of Birmingham, Alabama. Y'all, I consider myself a coffee connoisseur. I absolutely love coffee, and I found what I believe to be the absolute best coffee out there. With Day Soul Coffee Lab, you can be sure to get coffee that's super smooth and always fresh roasted. Some of the best, if not the best coffee you'll ever drink. So swing over to the website, daysoulcoffeelab.co, and use promo code LOWDOWN to get 10% off your order. They even have a subscription option where they'll deliver coffee directly to you every month. So guys, it's a no-brainer. If you're going to drink coffee, you might as well make it great coffee. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the latest installment of the Lowdown Popcast, where we keep it popping on all of your favorite topics about real life. I am your host, Elliot Poston. You can be sure to follow the show on all social media platforms at Lowdown Popcast. Follow me at the T-H-E Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, Poston, P-O-S-T-O-N, and use hashtag TLDP for anything referring to the show. Thank you for joining us tonight. Joining me is a longtime friend of mine. He is an accomplished assistant pastor at Right Direction Church International, co-visionary of Kingdom Business Network, and the founder of Kingdom Music Entertainment, as well as Chandler Bailey Media and Ministry. His primary focus is on transforming lives through delivery of God's Word, a graduate and champion for the North Greenville University Crusaders. He is driven by his passion for people. He's ventured into innovative projects to spread the message of faith. He is, most importantly, I believe, a devoted husband to his wife, Audrea, and father of three children, Elena, Righteous, and Hero. He is also holds a significant role, as mentioned, on the executive pastoral team of Right Direction Church International. His unique blend of creative expression, lyrical spirituality, and theological concepts have earned him recognition on national and international platforms. He has been featured on renowned television networks such as the Hillsong Channel, INSP, ABC, and Trinity Broadcasting Network, as well as popular radio shows like The Big Red Radio Show and Akintunde Morning Show. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for someone who additionally has co-founded Kingdom Business Network, the largest Christian entrepreneur club on the Clubhouse app, boasting over 100,000 connections, Pastor Chandler Scotland Bailey.
Let's go.
What's up, man?
Hey, what is up? I'm feeling high on the Lowdown. Let's go, man.
Man, first, I know you're a busy guy, so I just want to first and foremost, say thank you for taking time out of your evening to jump on here with us, man. And we just want to we chopped it up with a buddy of mine who's an author last week. This is about who is Jesus, and man, I was talking to you before the show started, just about how I just want to talk about what it means to be a man today.
Come on,
you know, you're father of three children. Husband to an amazing wife. Tell her I said hey, by the way.
Let's go.
And man, your son's about to start driving.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, like seeing them grow up so fast and when your head's down in fatherhood, seeing your children young and literally looking up in the throes of life and seeing them mature, have their own values, own perspectives, and the good Lord is growing their mindset in the midst of all the calamity around them, and somehow keep a piece of genuine relationship with your children and not be distracted by the fear that just raised havoc on us in society right now.
Yeah.
Being a man today is hard, man. I think most men should probably admit it. I think that's the first part in right now to being a man is admitting to your, once you recognize, I don't know about you, but I get better when things are hard. Like when you're a gamer, when you play games, when you change the settings, yep. Any gamers here, when you change the settings on anything, when you make it hard, you pay more attention to details.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying like, and I have been embracing that side of my God, I mean, spiritual masculinity, if I could say anything, like, it's okay for me to say it's hard.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that I mentioned this last week. I may have even mentioned it the week before. But talking about fatherhood and everything, and at being a gamer, whether it's video games or whether it's a gamer at like on the field or on the court, right? The harder it is, the harder we play. And you know, I heard someone say that they couldn't raise kids in today's world. Because God didn't instill the capacity in them to do it, which is why they raised kids 20 years ago. But people like us, we were built for such a time as this. Mm. And they said that. I was like, man, I never thought of that. And, you know, it's easy for us to draw on, you know, our past experiences, right? You know, get into the, man, well, when I was your age type of thing. But yeah, my parents even said, nah, I couldn't raise kids in today's society. And it's scary.
It is. And I think where we're at now is embracing the fact that they're allowed to have that perspective. And how I look at it is, and so look, even for everybody listening right now, first of all, I want to just honor Elliot for his consistency and embracing these challenging, meaningful conversations, because I really believe somehow our authenticity will help you out. First of all, Elliot, this is an outlet for me. This is therapeutic for me, to be honest with you, because like everywhere else, you got to do something. When you're on the stage, you got to preach. When you're doing this, you got to do that. When you like, I can just be a person, and I'm like, I'm sitting here on your podcast, being blessed by just talking with a longtime friend, catching up, but now talking about one of the most genuine things in my life, was just you asked me, like, you know, to talk about being a man so other people can know. And so to what you just said earlier about that previous generation saying, like, I don't know about y'all, I would not want to raise a kid in these times or whatever. But here's my thought. The same grace, mm-hmm. especially for believers, the same grace that was on your generation is there for our generation. And even though it looks crazier, I believe we're called to be salt and light regardless. Yep. And that's just on the faith-based side. But what I want to say to you is my biggest struggle in my season of being a man in this season right now, this time I'm in, has been embracing the fact that my vulnerability is a gift. That you can't be transparent with everybody, right? You can't tell everybody your business. I get that. You can't do all those different things.
But you got to find people you can.
Yeah, you do. Yep. And you got to be okay being in touch. I think you're required now to be in touch with your feelings. You know?
Yeah.
Like you have to, like, being this tough guy without being in touch with your feelings, you're going to ruin the most sacred relationships. And that's the biggest challenge to a man, I think.
Well, I completely agree. And I think it's one of those things that for so long it's been taboo, right? For so long, if a man cries, he's weak.
Yeah.
Jesus wept.
Yep.
Shortest verse in the Bible, but easily one of the most powerful things when it comes to manhood.
Yeah. And being in touch like that is so important. I was looking at my notes the other day, and what was I saying? And I see we're available. We're live right now on YouTube as well for anybody who wants to just check in or whatever, yep. Share the link with somebody. But I'm subscribing right now. But one thing I want to say, I'm just about to share this with my family, myself, because I want them to see this. like just embracing the weight, not being fake, being okay with days you're down, days you're lonely. Recognize that the genius comes out when things can be challenging. If you sit in your moments long enough, you'll figure out your own answer. And sometimes you're not even figuring out your answer as a man, and you're finding it. Sometimes the answer is still, that's been the hardest one. When you are a type of guy that always wants to make changes and make moves, and recognizing that sometimes the answer is to be still.
I don't know if you remember this, but there was about 8 years ago, you and I had that conversation.
Yeah.
I remember. I'll never forget it. I can tell you where I was living at the time and everything. And I remember talking to you. It was late. It was late at night. And, you know, it was just one of those things that the be still and know that I'm God. Verse came to mind. And, you know, what we discussed was sometimes we have to be still. And it's easy to focus on that, but sometimes we just got to know.
Yeah, you got to know, and sometimes you don't even know you're getting to know. Like the whole scripture that says we see through a glass darkly. Yeah, and being okay with not knowing it all, like being okay with not knowing the next move, being okay with being an example to your son of this is how you embrace, this is how you lead your family or lead not knowing the next move.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be content, son.
Yep.
Especially in a microwave society.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you hit some, when you said that, I said to myself, how many times, like the social media thing, it's just, I understand promoting, getting people out, connecting, networking, yeah. But sometimes you got to know when to give your soul a break, especially if you're a man working hard and you're not making ends meet, you don't have the money you need, you have more money, you have more month than money, and it's just so much going on financially. Like, that's another thing. That financial stress, every man has to pass that test.
Yeah. And it's natural to wear that stress, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like it's instilled in us as just through creation. I think God created us inherently where, as men, hey, we're meant to wear certain things. You want to know why Adam was made from dirt?
Come on.
Because dirt turns into, or clay, I'll say clay, because it said clay. I mean,
yeah.
Adam was made from clay because clay is hard. And clay, people walk all over clay. They trample, clay gets trampled on. And yeah, you can make pottery out of clay. And sometimes it comes to a point where that clay may break or it may crack. But that's why we have to have some, or that's why it's good for man to find a wife. He that findeth a wife finds a good thing.
Yeah.
And I heard it said one way. Man is made incomplete.
Come on.
Man is made, we're made missing a rib, right? Man is made incomplete. Because God intends for man to seek a wife. Mm-hmm. But God never tells a woman to seek a husband because she's made complete.
Yeah.
And now we're all incomplete when it comes to needing God in our life. Let's get that out there. But man needs a helpmate because God created us to need a helpmate.
Yeah. And so to what you just said just now, I'm thinking about the concept of needing a community. Like, why is it we need each other? Like, we're created to need one another. Like, just on the basic level, before we even looking at, sometimes we have to ask ourselves this, before I'm even looking at finding a spouse, what type of person am I? Who am I in terms of community?
Absolutely.
Like, do I even value people? Like, or do I value the people that God has blessed me in my life? Where am I in relationships? And speaking of this, going back to manhood, on the Lowdown podcast that's hanging out here, just keeping it 1,000 with the men is like, how are my relationships? How am I when things get heavy in my life? How am I when things get hard? How am I when I do need help? When I need help, do I shrink and act like I got it to get to my, I can handle it myself, but do I share to other people like, hey, I'm in need of help right now. Or, hey, I'm going through right now. You know, it's crazy. I know me and you been busy. I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I was going through something, especially as a leader or a pastor, there's other areas too, I will call you and be like, hey, Elliot, this just happened, man. I don't know what to do right now. Like, I don't have an answer, but I just feel like I need to tell somebody. This is what's going on with me right now. You're one of those people I'll pick up the phone and call.
I appreciate that, man. That means like, a lot.
I'm just keeping it real with you. You're one of those people. And let me tell you why, though. You ready for this? I trust you still. I don't know your move. I mean, I trust.
Come on.
That you'll just be with me. Like, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't need them to solve his problem.
Yeah.
He didn't need those guys to tell him how to die on the cross with swag. He didn't need those guys to tell him, like, this is how you're supposed to cry when God makes you upset in the Garden of Gethsemane. No, he just needed them to be there.
Yep.
And many of us men, man, we don't even know how to be around each other unless it's like a game we're watching, a game we're playing, a job we're working on. But do we know how to just simply be there?
Or, like you said, you know, he didn't tell them what they needed to do, how to take the cross. How many of us, when we're going through rough times, just completely shut the world off?
Come on.
When in those moments, that's when you need your computer, your community the most.
Yeah.
Man, a buddy of mine was talking to me the other day, I was telling him about just stuff I had going on. He's like, man, don't you think you need to rest? I said, man, listen. I said, there's been so many times where I've quote unquote needed to rest. And I know my mental capacity and my mental health game. I know that if I get stagnant, that my mind wanders. Mm. And sometimes it's not healthy. So for me, things that would be draining for a lot of people, such as playing a 3-hour gig, multiple 3-hour gigs in a week, having a wrestling event to do, doing a podcast, whatever, those things that take up my time, it may be draining for some, but for me, it's an outlet. You know, singing in front of people, playing a guitar for 3 hours, it's liberating for me. Mm. And it's liberating. It allows me to just, you know, some people work out to de-stress. I de-stress through music.
Wow. Like playing music or listening to music?
Playing.
Wow.
My soul empties. I'm able to shed weight. And that's good. You know,
and so for men like that, like men knowing their outlet is super important.
Yeah.
They need to know and be okay with it and not despise it, especially if you're a hardworking man and you're a man of purpose or you're a man position trying to make your family move forward, or you're sacrificing your time, your life for other people. You need to make time for you. And I'm not talking about just self-care like most of the popular ladies we know in our life talk about self-care movement. I'm talking about just being okay with like you're poor. Like I would, if I had to come up with a word for this, I would say, to be a little deep about it, you're poor IQ. Poor, not poor, two O's.
P-O-U-R.
P-O-U-R. Yep. Like where do you spill yourself out?
Correct.
If you only spill yourself out in that which that takes away from you and doesn't give you anything back, you're being a bad steward with your soul. Let's not even talk about money. Let's talk about soul management as a man. If all I do is pour myself into my job.
That you don't like.
Yeah. Does it impact? Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say? Or pour myself into relationships that don't do nothing for me. Now, some of these things we have to do because we have to do, but I think we should manage how often and how long we have to do them.
Well, and as we get older, you know, our circles get smaller, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It gets smaller, and it's not a bad thing. There's still people where, there's still people where, although your circle may be quote unquote smaller, they still have a seat at your table. They just may not always be at your table, and that's okay. Sometimes as we progress in leadership, as we move up in life, and I don't necessarily mean that financially, I'm just talking about in maturity, move up based on our maturity and our faith, based on whatever it may be, sometimes we outgrow the table we've been sitting at.
Yes.
And that's something that I learned when I transitioned to the church I'm at now. It was one of those things that I was going through some hurt, and when it came down to it, God had kind of shown me multiple times over the years to look at transitioning, and I'm a loyalist to a fault, and I know that about me.
Wow.
And what happened was my loyalism ended up getting the best of me, because before I knew it, I was burnt out.
Wow.
I was doing something I was called to do out of obligation instead of out of wanting to do it. And I tell people now, the moment you feel obligated to do something that you're called to do, stop doing it.
That's a good concept.
Because if you're just doing
you're called to do it.
Because if you're just doing it out of obligation, you're not fulfilling your purpose anymore.
Yeah, and then the principle, not disassociating it with finances so they can have a little more meaningfulness right now. With the universal principle that I believe is biblical, with the concept of sowing seeds, mm-hmm. Now you're casting your pearls among swine.
Yep.
You're not going to get any return on investment. And the return on investment may not even be you. It may be being a good role model to your children, being credible with your wife. Your wife knows your heart, and you're not bold enough to position it where you prioritize it. Or your credibility with those who know your gift, those who know your calling, those who know how Elliot really is, how Chandler really is when he's in his flow. Like, why are you doing this? And I'm not trying to tell that man to make any move right now yet, but I think the first move we need to make is in us, admitting that something's off, not denying it. Like you said earlier, with the whole concept of loyalty beyond fruit, loyalty behind being fruitful. Like that right there is the first accountability, is when my life points at God, for a man of God, a Christian man, am I genuinely positioning my life and the grace and free will that God has given me, which is my time.
Time costs. Time has a cost.
Yeah.
Because time is one thing that we have, that we seemingly have a lot of, but once time is gone, time is gone. There's no refund on time.
Yeah.
You know, vacation at work, I can roll over. You can't roll over a day. You know, today, once today ends, tomorrow is here. And it's just one of those things that, you know, that I've learned, especially with my son being 8 now, my daughter being 4, and just continuing to watch them grow. And that's something I'm learning more and more as a father, is, hey, my time with them is only for so long.
Man, and you're realizing it. It's happening. Like, that's my biggest challenge right now. If you want to ask me what my challenge is God, why do you require this much sacrifice for purpose when also part of your purpose is the people? Part of your purpose is the position, and part of the purpose is to quantify it, to get in paper. Look at the rapper coming out of me, right? Yeah. Paper as in finances. Like, how do I manage faith, family, and finances? And some of us, man, let's keep it real, even fitness. If, when I say fitness, I'm thinking about mental health, physical health, all that, holistic health. So, like, you have this whole world going on and how to make sure that you're taking the right time. That's where and managing those things. That's my man challenge.
So my pastor tells it to us like this.
Yeah.
What you value most, you'll make time for.
Yep.
Plain and simple. If it has high value in your life, you'll make time for it. If it doesn't, then you won't. Now, some of us, if we think about how much time we spend with our families and everything else we do, the value of our family is pretty low.
It is.
And maybe as a husband and a father, we need to reevaluate that.
You know what? Another reason why it may be. Because value, when you invest in something, the value increases, one. Two, marketing. Like, if I keep showing you this brand new, nice electric vehicle, I keep showing you how good it is and what it does. Even if you're not in a position to get it, you respect the value of it. Why? Because the way I presented it to you makes you think it's so important.
Yep.
I think that's what a lot of us men have been sold incorrectly about our manhood.
Oh, absolutely.
Like having all this money or being on top of the mountain, being the King Kong of our world, being fully in control, what being sure looks like, physical fitness, all these different things. I mean, it's not wrong with, you know, if by all means, if you have a good salary, you make money in God's position, you do that, that's fine. If you're a man who works out and you have your health goals, that's fine. But when we place our ultimate value on those things, that, like you said, look, your pastor says completely right. Your value, you know, whatever you place your time where you value the most. But then also my mind, I got to control my ears and my eye gates, or look back at my childhood and say, why do I value this so much?
Well, and we also have, as men, we have to determine for us what success looks like.
Man.
Because, and that's something I'm learning as well, is what does success look like to me and for me? And then I have to look at success as a whole, and then I need to apply it to the different areas of my life. All right, what does success look to me as a father? What about as a husband?
That's good, Elliot.
And then what about everything else? I have three categories in my life. I have, and sometimes those categories are subdivided. So I have, as Paul told us, faith, family, everything else. That's the way I break it up. What does success look like to me in my relationship with God? What is successful? And God tells us everything that is, means we're in a successful relationship with Him. Two, what makes me a successful family man? So what makes me a successful husband? What makes me a successful father? What makes me a successful son? If you have being a successful father or son above being a successful husband, men, you got it backwards. Fix it. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Then what makes me successful in everything else? Like, what does that look like? What does success look like for me in everything else? Those are three things I have to break up for me. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, my success in a relationship with Him is knowing Him, loving Him, and just sharing Him with others. The Great Commission. It's living out the Great Commission. It's being a witness for Christ at all times when necessary, using words.
Yeah.
It's helping people understand that I can love you and not agree with you. Agreeance isn't always acceptance, and agreeance is not always love. You want to know how much I love you? I can tell you I love you. Why can I tell you I love you as a man? Well, because one, I know the love God has for me. And I am so sure and so confident of the love that God has for me that I can easily tell you, hey, man, I love you.
Yeah. 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 That's real. And being in tune. Listen, when you brought up being in tune with your feelings, but when you brought up, let me just keep it real with you. When you brought up the relationship priorities, father-son dynamic, and then for guys who are husbands, their wives, that wife part. That wife life ain't no joke, man. Especially you've been married over 5 years. It gets real.
Man, been married since 2012. We'll be 12 years in March. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, once you're over five, everybody from 5 to 10 is the same. To me, 10, everything 10 to 15 is the same. I will be 15 in December. So,
congratulations, brother.
And you remember how the weight, you know, how Adria and I, like, what our world was like, we got married, you know, being young in college or senior, everyone at the Christian college was getting married, but our terms and how we did it was just, it was a blessing, but it was a challenge at the same time. We were so young. And then Alina came very, very fast. You know, I let everybody else do the math.
Yeah, that's right.
But she came fast, and man, we had to like, really like grow up and learn, like, what does this life look like? And as I think about, you know, what type of man I was back then to where I am now, my priorities were my looks, being an athlete, my physique. Of course, academics, school was a priority for all of us. But I'll be honest and say, like, I had no idea the weight and what the world of what being, first of all, and a man would be like at that time, let alone what a Christian husband would have to turn into.
Well, you got to think of it this. We have to think of it this way too. Especially, I think you'd agree, raising a daughter is completely different than raising a son.
Yes,
they have the similarities, but there's a lot of different things when raising a son and a daughter.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like raising my son, I have to raise him in a way that he sees how to love his future wife.
Wait.
Yeah. I have to show him that. And I fail. Okay.
Okay, good. You made us all feel better.
Yeah.
I know where he was going, y'all. I know where he was going.
I fell at it, guys.
We all fail.
You know, but raising a daughter, you have to show her how a husband should treat her.
That part right there, man, is so strong. Sometimes you can forget too.
And it's one of those things that I told someone, I said, listen, I spoil my daughter. They said, huh? Why do you spoil your daughter? I said, because one day my daughter's going to be seeking a husband, and I need him to know how he needs to treat my daughter. And if he can't spoil her like I spoiled her, then he doesn't deserve her. Plain and simple. If he can't live up to daddy's, to the way daddy treated daughter, he doesn't deserve her.
There it is. You know what? And that, you know what? I'm going to say something really radical. Lord help me. I'm not trying to get emotional, but I thought about something. I should want love. You know how you want your children to be on a better and better financial position than you?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to be in a better financial position than I was when I was 25. I want you to be in a better financial position than I was some when I was 35. But have we ever said this? I want you to be in better loving condition than your mother was when she was 25. I want you to be loved better.
Yep.
Than the way I loved your mom when we were 35. And looking at love as equity and saying, I want the man that marries my daughter to take love to the next level.
Absolutely.
That's game changer. I just gave him my answer just now. Like, your sacrifice needs to be better than mine. And then also explaining to our daughters that as they get older, like, hey, I know I might seem a little hard, but I want to give you away to a man that I believe can love you better than I love their mother. Or at a, how about this? Let's not say better, we're competitive, right? On another level than I loved your mother.
Yeah.
Because love is hard, and love doesn't come out until the most the trying time. So like, man, Ellie, you just brought up something just now, man. You sort of changed my whole father daughter relationship just
Clint,
now. Like
Clint Black, a country singer, I wrote a song that says, "Love is hard, love is kind, love is deep, love is blind. Love isn't something we can find; it's something that we do."
Something that we do. Y'all see how on the Lowdown podcast, Elliot would just say something like very game changing, life changing, and just get quiet, like our life, our hearts aren't shaking.
That's not fair, man. I say this every show, to whoever I'm interviewing, is God's blessed me so far to have people who are very easy to interview. I'll say interview. This is a conversation. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's a conversation that we just, I tell people, listen, I want us to be organic. I want us to be transparent. And we're just talking. We're two dudes having a conversation. And we go the direction that God takes it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, cool.
And so to the dark, if I had to come up with a concept on that, I would say it's called the daughter factor. Like, man, am I determined to be an example of love that my daughter should receive, or it'll be the floor of what her expectations are? That's game changer right there. Like, you're having that on your mind.
No, I mean, yeah. Hey, my love for my daughter isn't the ceiling. It's the floor. Excuse me, future son-in-law, if the way that my daughter has been treated by her father, if that can't be your baseline, you don't deserve her.
Yeah.
And my son, 8 years old, he's the oldest, he's eight, my daughter's four, but he's like, Dad, why are you so much harder on her, on me than you are her? Son, it's simple. It's very simple. And the world will tell you different. But you're going to grow up to be a man one day. You're going to grow up to be a man. And there's a lot that you're going to wear. There's a lot that you're going to have to carry. And you don't realize it yet at the age of eight. And that's fine. You don't need to. But one day, Daddy's not going to be here. And that means you're going to be the man.
And
it's one of those things that dad'll take everything that he can for y'all. He'll take all the beatings, all the arrows, all the bullets that the enemy tries to fire at us. I'll take them, but one day I won't be able to. So my job as a father is to train you up in a way and help you understand that you can be strong and you can be firm and you can still be loving at the same time.
Yeah, that part had to, I reckon that's the biggest thing. Some men is the opposite. Some men were loving and have to learn to be strong and firm, and some men were strong and firm and have to learn to be loving. And you say it's that blend, and that's the toughest thing when you realize you have to teach your sons that. Like, you want them to, you know they're going to grow up. You want them to be the best man they can be. But when you really get down nitty and gritty in it, you have to teach them that this is how you protect your mother. Mm-hmm. The world's not safe. You tell them the deep, dark secret, like, there's people out there.
Yeah.
That are you can love the, you love the Lord all your heart, but nobody put your hand on your family. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you teach, like, it's the whole concept of, like, man, like, part of our role. Let's talk about daughter factor, conversation shift, protection factor. Like your protection values. Like, what we were talking about with our daughters just now was, like, the whole, like, truth be told, we were talking about, like, money and love and everything. Now let's talk about protection. Like, no greater love than the man who lays down his life. Like, are we an example to our sons that I will lay down my life? Like, what you just said just now, that's part of our job.
Yeah.
We don't want to take a bullet.
It's the burden we wear.
But will we take a bullet?
Absolutely.
that's what made me, you know, I know everybody has their own beliefs, and I know we're live about firearms and Second Amendment, whatever, but let me tell you what made me have a peace with equipping my family.
I'm trying.
With several things. Several. When the list, let me tell you, this is for me, y'all. I'm a whole pastor and everything. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, if you have to lay your life down for your family, let it be like you tried your best to do everything you can. I didn't give my life down. I laid it down, meaning that I did what I could do to protect my family, but I got taken out. Versus, I can't protect my family, and I'm taken out. Like, that's not the sacrifice that's worth. Yeah. I don't have anything to protect my family. It hit me one day. I was like, you know, when you, you know, when you're early 20s, you know, you were like, hold on, I can't protect my family. And that's when you knew, like, this is not about me. This firearm, these weapons aren't about me. This is about them. I don't know. I don't know how we got to that conversation. I hope we're okay.
No, I'm with it's. It's being a, it's equipping and empowering, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's funny because talking about protecting and everything, and protecting and helping your son and children understand, hey, you got to learn to protect your own. You got to protect your family. And I was talking about earlier how how I was telling my son, hey, I'll take everything I can, but the day's going to come I won't be able to anymore. And I actually use that concept in discipline with my son. So my son and daughter discipline two different ways, right? My daughter, you spank her, it doesn't affect her. You tell her, go in the corner, it tears up. She can't do it. So her main discipline right now, if she does something she shouldn't do and doesn't correct, she has to stand in the corner.
Yeah.
And it kills her. My son, he's very.
How old is your daughter?
Four.
Four? Okay.
My son's very tenderhearted. And at first, it was spankings. But something shifted in my son where getting a spanking became something to where it was actual fear in him. And I don't mean like the respect fear. I mean like fear. So I had to correct the way I disciplined.
Yeah.
So what I transitioned to was something, and honestly, this kind of happened. So when we were building our house, there was a moment where we lived with my in-laws for a couple months, and my son acted out. He needed to be disciplined. I wanted to spank him, didn't know how to spank him in the presence of my in-laws because of whatever reasons. So I changed up my method. And I made him grab the belt, and I stuck my arm out, and I told him to hit it as hard as he could. And he said, huh? I said, hit me. He said, no. So I grabbed his hand with my belt, and I hit my arm, and I hit it several times. And it tore him up. I said, why are you crying? Why are you upset? He said, because I hurt you. I said, yeah, son, you did. I said, every time you choose to act out like that, it hurts me, just like that belt did just now. I said, and I was able to turn it into a conversation about Jesus. I said, you know, Jesus took these same types of beatings on the cross. I said, and he took all of our sin, all of our beatings, and he's forgiven us. I said, and son, just like what you've done, and just like the beating that you've just given me on my arm, but also in my heart, I'm willing to forgive you because I love you. I said, but there's going to be a day that physically I can't take these beatings anymore. And you're going to have to take the beating yourself.
It's good.
I said, and it was just one of those things we had. Real quick, Wally says, yo.
What up?
And Smile of Hearts said something else. I'm not going to read that. yeah. Said reply, we're going to have some problems. I replied, Wally. So, but yeah, man. Before we continue, real quick, I just want to thank one of our sponsors. Revolution Nutrition is where community and nutrition meet, located in Camden, South Carolina, in the heart of Dusty Bend. They offer healthy protein shakes and iced coffees, energizing herbal teas, allure refreshers, kid-friendly drinks, and positive vibes. Head on over and mention the lowdown for 10% off in good old Camden, South Carolina. But yeah, so transitioning back real quick. What are some things as a father that maybe have been aha moments in raising kids, or what's something that maybe you would say, hey guys, you know, we've talked about community, the importance of community. Iron and Sharpening and I, we've talked about the daughter and the daughter effect and the protection effect. What's some other things that we've got that we can
sort of unpack? Yeah. Well, I want to highlight two things. If you wanted to ask me right now, what is your biggest man world that God's like dealing with you with, bringing, molding you, shaping you, and like you said earlier, is the daughter factor. My daughter, she's the oldest. She's one of the brightest, most beautiful girls in the whole wide world to me, right? However, she's determined. She's witty. She's creative. She's administrative. She has all the giftings of a powerful astronomical leader. However, timing is so important with her, and I realize how much time I have left. And then I realize how I'm sort of hard. Like, I would say my daughter is the one out of all my children who experienced more daddy's trauma. Now, here, when I say trauma, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking
about the oldest, right?
Yeah, she's the oldest. I'm not talking about like abuse or anything crazy like that. Sure. I'm talking about elevating my voice at the wrong time, and I can't believe I elevated my voice to my 5-year-old.
You're figuring it out.
Figuring it out. You know, like we're driving the car, I'm like, no, Alina, stop. She starts crying. I'm like, wait, even though I could have did that, like, I'm asking myself, why? Why did that send me there that quick? You know, or like, hey, what, you know, what she's wearing? She's in high school now. I'm looking at her clothes she's wearing. I'm like, embracing that place. I'm like where are those freedom variables and like crop tops and all these different things. And so she's, every time I think I got it under control, I figured it out. We're good. Dad's comfortable. Daughter's good. But it's more, can I have Snapchat now? TikTok. Like, it's like, and I'm like, oh Lord, okay, God, are we doing the right thing? Am I positioning things right? Am I raising my daughter? She loves the Lord though. She's all, that's what our youth ministry. She's phenomenal, but it's just my feelings, not her. She's not doing anything. It's just my, and I realize what it is. It's the trauma of how I know I was growing up.
No facts. I get it.
I was difficult. I was a troubled teenager. And so, thank you, Holy Spirit. He's helped me now. I was a troubled teenager. And sometimes I'm dealing with my kids like they're troubled teenagers. And they're not. They love the Lord.
Or there's some of that trauma that you still haven't necessarily dealt with that maybe we've suppressed for forever.
Man. Hey, you helping me. It could be that.
You know what I mean? And
your kids bring it out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, or you see something and you're like, oh man, that's exactly how I was when I was that age. How do I direct them in a way that, and so that make sure they don't. And sometimes, and this is something that I've kind of been having conversations with other people. Sometimes it's those raw conversations we have to have with our kids when they're at the right time,
right age and stuff. Yeah,
to say, hey, here's something you need to know about dad.
Yeah. So they can know, so they can understand and know those moments.
And that's something I'm praying that God will allow me to, or give me the strength to have when that time comes. because those conversations weren't had with me. And I feel like if they would have been, there's some things that maybe I wouldn't have exposed myself to.
Wow.
Don't know if it would have helped, but I think maybe it would have. So I'm hoping that when that time comes, I'm willing to just be open. I think I'm a pretty open guy anyway, so I don't see why when that time comes, I wouldn't. Yeah.
This is something else that Andrea and I, my wife and I, we sort of settled on. We missed the mark, but this is one of our family values, that if I cannot be an example of doing right by the Lord, then I need to be an example of repentance. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of perfecting, not perfection. And so, like, when mom and dad get it wrong, especially when I need to be okay with showing them what repentance looks like, what forgiveness looks like, what asking for forgiveness looks like in a marriage, all these different things. And that's been the toughest part, because we live in this world where it's right or wrong, black or white. You know, we want the yes or no variables. And when it comes to building a family, being a man, leading your home. Listen, to any man out there hurting right now saying, God, I just want to know how to lead my home better. Like, what is leading your home may not look like me leading my home. Facts. Me leading my home may not look like you leading your home. But what me and Elliot both can say to you right now is that sweet spot will always be a spot where you feel like you're sacrificing. Anytime, thank you, Holy Spirit, your example of sacrificing for your family, for your marriage, for your daughter, for your son, it's something, Elliot, and you probably can break this down more. There's something about, man, that for a man, what something comes out of us when we sacrifice. Why is that? It's something that's priceless. See, right, we drop down on one knee, we look at her, our eyes are watering, or maybe should be, or not, because we're so nervous, and we ask her, we sacrifice our pride. What is that knee drop about, sacrificing your pride?
Some of us need to sacrifice that pride on an altar. I mean,
that part,
you know, it's heck, you know, and I'm using altar figuratively here, right? I mean, you can do it in your shower, you can do it in your car. I mean, but there's something to sacrificing that pride. I mean, we all know pride comes before the fall. We all know that.
Yeah.
But how many of us have been too prideful to apologize to our wives for something stupid we've done? Here's one. How many of us men who have children have been too prideful to apologize to our children because of the way we discipline them? Because, hey, that's how daddy disciplined me, or that's how mom disciplined me. My kid can handle it.
Exactly.
Hey, maybe not, because maybe you're not handling it as an adult still.
My God, dude. And maybe train your child up the way they should go. Maybe that's not the way that's best fit to discipline them anyway. And you think you're doing good, but you're asked to be more effective if you did X, Y, and Z. Like you brought up earlier, your son being different than your daughter. Well, embrace the fact that my son may be different than me.
Yes. That's hard. Because, and I say that because my son is a lot like, I mean, my son is my biggest fan, dude.
Yeah, Righteous is my biggest fan too. Yeah,
man, there's just, I love having a daughter, but I mean, I love having a son. And man, me and him, there's stuff that we do together now that's just, it's just for us. And, it's sometimes we have to learn that we have to discipline our children in a way that maybe you say it worked for you, but how much did you like it being disciplined that way?
How much was it affecting?
Not saying we should like discipline, not saying that, but you know, something I've learned as a father is teaching your child to pursue excellence instead of perfection.
Pursue excellence instead of perfection.
Correct.
So good.
And I say that because of the stuff I dealt with. For so long, I tried to get it perfect. I tried to get it, quote unquote, right. And more often than not, it wasn't right based on what I thought should be right. because I was I was setting unrealistic expectations for myself because it had to be perfect. It had to be flawless. Part of that was just growing up with a dad who was a perfectionist and a mom who, I mean, nothing in our house was unturned. Everything was nice and kept super clean, super nice, kept that way. When we cut the grass and my dad saw a blade of grass that was longer than the rest, we cut the whole yard again so that the lines and stuff were going the same direction. A little bit of OCD from my dad. I get it now. All right. I'm a grown man now.
Some things we get.
I get it. But that's some of the things where I kind of carry with me into adulthood that not until the past 5-6 years I realized, hey, for so long I was seeking the wrong thing. I was seeking perfection and trying to be perfect or do things perfectly instead of doing them out of excellence or with excellence. Because here's what happens whenever we pursue excellence instead of perfection. If you pursue excellence, then whatever you're pursuing excellence in today, it will be your absolute best. And tomorrow, you will pursue excellence again, but that best will be better than it was today.
Come on, man. That is good. But perfection is built off someone else's perspective. It's not built off purpose.
And it's not attainable.
Yeah, it's subjective as well.
Your best is attainable because you're the measuring stick.
Yeah, it's my best.
It's your best. Now, you have to determine through the conviction and of the Holy Spirit what your best is.
Yeah.
That's a conversation for you and the Holy Spirit to have. And for you to be transparent with yourself, with those you love around you, with God, and say, God, you know what? God, I need to say I'm sorry. I didn't give my best today, but tomorrow I will be better. I promise. And just have those honest conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
But that's why that's one of the reasons I try to say pursue excellence. Stop pursuing perfection. Perfection is not attainable. Only Jesus Christ himself could pursue it. We're made perfect in his image through the Holy Spirit by his blood. We are made perfect in him. But if we try and seek perfection and be perfect, it's a losing game. But you can be excellent, and you can be excellent every day when you wake up.
You know, another thing, another thing that I had to, that I'm embracing right now is, you know, you said perfection. I want to bring up protection. That this desire to protect my children from everything is not realistic, and it's not going to help them be the best person that they're called to be.
Yeah.
This concept of me wanting to create this shield or this world where they can focus without distractions.
Giant bubble.
Yeah, like be successful without failures. Persevere without, you know, that's not realistic. And embracing that side of you as a dad, realizing I have to allow real variables, not curated ones by me, to be involved in my child's development. That whole scripture concept, I'll know I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that scripture is took into effect when everyone else does forsake you.
Yeah.
So for me to always try to be there emotionally, mentally, whatever, for my son, my daughter, they would never truly get to know Christ the way they need to because my prideful fathering is getting in the way.
That's good.
And it's something that, and I'm saying it because I have teenagers now, and I'm imagining the 18, 19, 20, when they get to that age, how I'm going to have to wean myself off from them, not in an emotional way like I need them, but me being concerned that they emotionally need me.
Yeah.
And then actually, and potentially, like you said earlier, locating that in myself if that comes from trauma too. I think this whole lowdown podcast today, guys, was just to find out that Chandler Bing has issues. I'm like, this is a setup. This is a setup.
So, you know, it's one of those things, Pastor Chandler, that, you know, God loves us so much that he'll meet us where we're at, but he loves us way too much to leave us there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, it. You mentioned this
and earlier. And trust that.
Yeah. And it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way.
Bars.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. That's something that I've heard over the years. You know, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way.
Yeah.
And you know, God loves you so much that he'll meet you where you are, but he loves you way too much to leave you there. Mm. But man, wrapping up, let the people know how they can follow you, get in touch with you, and all that stuff. Any conferences or anything you got coming up?
We have so much going on right now. But I will say something that's on my heart. I have a book called Happy Faith Every Day. It's a 7-day devotional that'll take your faith from a journey to a discovery. And what I mean by that is self-discovery. A lot of people, I don't know your background, but my background that I've seen before, a lot of people I knew have faith for, but don't know how to have faith in. And God was really challenging me to celebrate what he's saying to me in my heart, like it's a birthday. When you have a birthday, you know someone has a birthday, right? Even if they're not in the mood, you make them get in the mood. You're like, hey, what do you mean? We're going out. It's your birthday. What do you mean, dude? We're hanging out. It's your birthday. And God was like, you know, what if you stop worrying about all this manifestation and just be happy that I'm speaking to you? And so it's a 7-day devotional. It's designed to reset your faith, reset your motives. And that's available on ChandlerBelia.com. And then we do have a conference coming up, Elliot, for Christian business owners, September 21st and 23rd. And my company that I co-founded called Kingdom Business Network, that's coming up in Atlanta, Georgia. So all that's on my website. Go to ChandlerBelia.com, catch up with me. But more than anything, man, I'm so excited about Lowdown Podcast. I'm so glad to hang out with you and just spend time, man, and talk. And I hope people are blessed by our conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate you, like I said earlier, taking time out of your schedule and everything. Guys, be sure to follow him on social media as well, at Chandler S. Bailey.
Yep, at Chandler S. Bailey on social media. Thank you so much.
And he can, if you go to ChandlerBailey.com, you can sign up for his newsletter. I'm part of it. I get notifications every day on different devotions and stuff and inspiring messages from Pastor Chandler Bailey. Brother, I appreciate you, man. Hey, if I haven't told you today, I love you, man. I appreciate you.
Love you too, boss. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Guys, this has been the Lowdown Popcast. We appreciate you tuning in. As always, guys, catch us next week right here, same time, same place. We love you. We appreciate each and every one of you. As always, let's keep it popping.